You're about to hear Ethiopia and the Origin of Civilization by John G. Jackson, narrated by Troy W. Hudson. Ethiopia and the Origin of Civilization, a critical review of the evidence of archaeology, anthropology, history, and comparative religion, according to the most reliable sources and authorities, by John G. Jackson, 1939. It is pretty well settled that the city is the Negro's great contribution to civilization, for it was in Africa where the first cities grew up. E. Haldeman Julius. Those piles of ruins which you see in that narrow valley watered by the Nile are the remains of opulent cities, the pride of the ancient kingdom of Ethiopia. There, a people now forgotten discovered while others were yet barbarians the elements of the arts and sciences. A race of men now rejected from society for their sable skin and frizzled hair, founded on the study of the laws of nature, those civil and religious systems which still govern the universe. Count Volney. The accident of the predominance of white men in modern times should not give us supercilious ideas about color or persuade us to listen to superficial theories about the innate superiority of the white-skinned man. 4,000 years ago, when civilization was already 1 or 2,000 years old, white men were just a bunch of semi-savages on the outskirts of the civilized world. If there had been anthropologists in Crete, Egypt, and Babylonia, they would have pronounced the white race obviously inferior and might have discoursed learnedly on the superior germplasm or glands of colored folks. Joseph McCabe. The late Professor George A. Dorsey noted that H.G. Wells's heart beats faster in nearly every chapter of his Outline of History, because he cannot forget that he is Nordic, Aryan, English-British, white, civilized. Why We Behave Like Human Beings, page 40. This patriotic zeal of Mr. Wells's has in truth caused him to suppress certain facts that do not fit into his pet theories. In the latest edition of his Outline of History, Mr. Wells ends his chapter on the early empires with the following remarks. No less an authority than Sir Flinders Petrie gives countenance to the idea that there was some very early connection between Colchis, the country to the south of the Caucasus, and prehistoric Egypt. Herodotus remarked upon a series of resemblances between the Colchians and the Egyptians. Wells's New and Revised Outline of History, page 184, Garden City, 1931. It would have been proper for Wells to have quoted the remarks of Herodotus so as to give us precise information on the series of resemblances between the Colchians and the Egyptians. Why he did not do so, we shall now see. In Book 2, Section 104 of his celebrated history, Herodotus states, "For my part, I believe the Colchi to be a colony of Egyptians, because like them, they have black skins and frizzled hair." See any English translation of the history of Herodotus. The translation by Professor George Rawlinson is the best. See also W.E.B. Du Bois, The Negro, page 31, and Count Volney's Travels in Egypt and Syria, volume 1, pages 80 and 81. After discussing the civilizations of Egypt, Babylonia, and India, Wells had already referred to them as a triple system of white man civilizations. Outline of History, Chapter 13, Section 5, page 175. On concluding that the civilization of Egypt was a white man civilization, he naturally would be careful not to quote the above passage from Herodotus. Most history texts, especially the ones on ancient history, start off by telling us that there are either 3, 4, or 5 races of man, but that of those races, only one has been responsible for civilization, culture, progress, and all other good things. The one race is, of course, the white race, and particularly that branch of said race known as the Nordic or Aryan. The reason for this is obvious. The writers of these textbooks are, as a rule, Nordics, or so consider themselves. However, prejudice alone will not account for this sort of thing. There is a confusion among historians and anthropologists concerning the proper classification of races, and this confusion is used by biased writers to bolster up their preconceptions. It is therefore necessary that we discuss the subject of race classification in a rational manner before proceeding.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?